New Mishnah. Okay, we're at the bottom of Kuv Zayin Amud Bet. Misha halach lemedinat hayam va'amar echad ufirnes et ishto. Okay, yesterday we saw the case. What if she borrows money when the husband's away to pay for the mazonot? Is he responsible? Does the husband have to pay back or not? So you can make it. You can turn it. I think it's going to get hot if you turn it off. But you can just make it a degree higher, and if as it goes on, you could decide to shut it. Okay, so Mishalach leMedinat Hayam, va'amad echad ufirnes et ishto. So now the guy goes off to Medinat Hayam. She's got no money to support herself. What do they say? Someone, instead of, she doesn't borrow money this time, somebody else decides out of the goodness of their heart to start supporting her. Hanan Omer, Ibed et Ma'otav. Okay? Now, basically, it's kind of like he lent her the money. It wasn't like he was planning to give her tzedakah. But Hanan says, well, tough luck. It's as if you gave her tzedakah. You've lost your money. Nechleku alav b'nei kohanim gedolim v'amru yishava kama hotzi v'yitol. Now, basically, when the husband gets back, right? So, and this is all, obviously, he's not demanding the money from her. It's just he's going to demand it from the husband when the husband shows up. So according to Hanan, tough luck, you've lost your money. The b'nei kohanim gedolim, remember they disagree with Hanan on these two cases. This is the second case. So now, they say yishava kama hotzi v'yitol. So he has to swear how much he put out, the guy who supported her, and then he gets it from the husband. Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Hurkanos kidivrehem. Rabbi Yosef ben Hurkanos said, like the Bnei Akonim, and just like in the other Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, yafe Amar Hanan, hiniach ma'otav al keren tzvi. Okay, this reminds me of when Shoshana left her Schottenstein on top of her car and drove off, and the Schottenstein went flying, and that was the end of it, right?
No.
So... So it's like that, right? Anyone ever do that? Leave their wallet on top of their car, you know, or
my
drive away?
Coffee.
Okay. Okay. So that's what it's basically like leaving it on top of even worse than that, like a tzvi, right? That was their car in those days, you could say, right? Okay. A tzvi is known to run very fast. So as soon as the tzvi takes off, you know, it's gone. It's a done deal. Okay. If you like that image or this, you're going to like the comment in the next mission. Anyway. Okay. So we have this debate about how we treat the issue of this guy putting out money for the woman. In general, okay, this is a little different than a regular case. In general, if somebody goes to like save someone, so they can demand like schar batala. There's this famous mission of someone takes the cod is dripping and he dumps his wine out and he saves the dvash because the dvash was more expensive than wine and he saves the dvash to the other kli and then he demands the money of the wine that he spilled. You know, the guy said, well, I never told you to spill the wine. You know, so there's different debates in different places about how we treat when someone goes out of their way to help somebody, then do we say that they have to take a financial loss or not? So in that case, if I remember correctly, they say he decided to spill the wine. It's not his problem, but he does get paid for the schar batala, I think, if I remember correctly. The time he spent helping this person that he wasn't working in the workforce, like we saw the other day about that. This case is a little different because in this case, there's someone else who's responsible to help her. The husband is. So because of that, it's treated a little differently than a regular case. There was something else I wanted to comment here. One second. Eludes me. Right. So, yeah, I don't remember what I wanted to point out. But anyway, like I stressed before, there's a difference between if she borrows money. And here, he just gives her money without saying, I'm loaning you the money, right? And then it becomes unclear whether he has to get paid back or not. Tnan hatam. Now we're going to quote a Mishnah, okay, in Nedarim. Hamudar hana'a mechavero. Okay, if somebody says, I will not get any benefit from you, there are certain things that the person can do for him, even though he said, I'm not going to get any benefit from you. Shokelo et shiklo. Okay, right now we're not going to see the reasons. The Gemara is going to get to the reasons right away. Right now we'll just go through the cases and the reasons we'll see in 1 minute. What does that mean? He can give his machatzira shekel to the Trumat Alishka, right? That they would collect for the Korbanot Tzibur that we just talked about. You can give it for someone else. You're not considered benefiting them. Okay, can anyone think of why? We talked about this, about benefiting when it comes to mitzvot. We say Mitzvot lav lahen don't need to know. You're not benefiting them necessarily if you're doing a mitzvah for them. Although we'll see, it's not the only reason here, but it has to do with it. Porea, we'll see it also, particularly in the third case. Porea et chovo, he's allowed to pay back a loan for him. Okay, why that's not benefiting him is a little complicated, right? That seems definitely a benefit. All of these really seem like somewhat of a benefit because shokelo et chovo, he's saving him money because the guy now doesn't have to give his machatzit shekel. Umachzir lo avedato, and he could return a lost item to him, which is also right. So first of all, he has to do it anyway, right? It's a mitzvah to be machzir aveda, but yet he is benefiting him. So these three things are not considered hana'a for him. Okay, ubimakom shenotlim sachar tipol hana'a lehekdesh. In a place where people get paid for returning lost items, right? We know this. Sometimes people put up a reward. I'll give you this amount of money if you return my lost item. So if it's a place where that's what they do, so the money that he's supposed to get goes to Hekdesh. Now, this is a little strange. I don't know if you, right, you have to really think about it to catch this. But there's a bit of a problem here because who's not allowed to benefit? The guy who he's returning the Aveda to, not the guy who is returning the Aveda, right? Okay, let's say Joe loses his item, right? Okay. Joe is the one who lost the item. And Jack is returning the item, right? He's the returner. Okay, now, Jack was the one who, Joe was the one who swore, I'm not going to get any benefit from Jack, right? He's also the one who swore. So now, when Joe goes to pay Jack for basically returning his lost item, no one ever said that Jack couldn't get hana from Joe. So why is it an issue that the money has to go to Hekdesh? You follow? There's a bit of a problem here. So there's a bunch of answers given. I'll mention two of them. One is that the assumption is he was mudar hana'an. It was a two-way thing, that they each swore off of each other. That's one way of reading it. What's wrong?
No. Okay.
Okay. Now, do you follow? Joe said, I'm not going to get any benefit from you. If Joe now, if Jack returns the lost item, which we'll see why that's not hana'an, and Joe's supposed to pay Jack, so they say Joe can't pay Jack. So Joe gives the money to Hekdesh. But now the question is, why can't Joe pay Jack? Because Jack never said anything about not getting hana'a from him. So either you say it was a two-way street, in other words, it was a case where he was mudar hana'a from him and he was mudar hana'a from him. Or you say that, there's a good reason given. I can't remember now. Give me a second. If I can find it, I don't remember if it was here or somewhere else that I saw it.
Why is Joe obligated to pay Jack?
No. In a place where Joe, where everybody pays money when someone returns an Aveda. So he returned Joe's lost item. Joe now has to pay him.
But why did Joe swear in the first place not to get any hana'a from Jack?
Oh, that's a whole separate thing. Why? You know, that's... This is just that's in the case where this happened.
That has nothing to do with...
Okay,
the,
I forgot the other reason. It's in, I think it's there, Razel. Do you see it? I think it's in the Quran.
There's no hana'a in Joe having received his lost item, but maybe... The fact that he gave money gives him the hana'a, that's an added fact.
Yafeh. Joe gets hana'a from the fact that he's giving money. Jack, is that what it is? Razel, see what it says there. It definitely gave a good explanation there. Okay. Fine, but I think that's what it is. I think that he's getting hana'a from the fact that he's giving money to him. I think that's what it is. That was the explanation given. Okay, fine. Let's move on. But anyway, it's a question there. So now let's go through the three cases. Bishlama shokelo et shiklo mitzvah ka'avid. He's doing a mitzvah, basically, right? In other words, he's not benefiting him. He's just doing a mitzvah, right? And how do we know? Ditznan tormim al ha'avud va'al ha'gavoy va'al ha'atid ligvot. What happens if you didn't give, let's say you gave your shekel and it got lost. Do you have to give another one? So the halacha is you don't, and you're still included in the korbanot tzibur. And al hagavoy, in other words, let's say, do you remember that in Nisan they would do the Trumat HaLishkah, they would take all the money and buy the korbanot for the year. Now we learned in Shkalim that not all the money made it there by Nisan. Some of it was on the way. So when they're Tormim et HaLishkah, they have in mind all the people whose Shkalim got lost along the way. All the people whose were already gavoy. And al atid likvot. And the ones who hadn't even taken it yet, because remember from Babel they would take it later. So what do you see here? That in essence, he's just doing a mitzvah and he's not actually benefiting him because in the end, the guy can get his korbanot done for him even if he didn't bring the shekel yet. So therefore, it's not a real benefit, and it's really he's just being makayim a mitzvah, giving the shekel, and mitzvah lav lehenot nitnu also. Machzir lo avedato, nami mitzvah ka'avid, right? It's also a mitzvah. And it's a mitzvah to be machzir aveda. It's not considered that you're benefiting him. Ela porer lo chovo. Haka mishtar shele. What do you mean? He's basically, you know, benefiting him. Now this guy won't have to pay this money back. So how do we explain that? So now we're going to see why we brought this up here. Amar Rav Hoshaya Hamane, who is this going according to? Hanan hi. It's Labliba Deshitat Hanan. Da'amar Ibed Et Ma'otav. Okay, what does that mean? If he was Mifarnes the wife, right, and then he intended it to be, 1 second. Right, in other words, here, wait a second, let me get exactly how that he, right, it's not considered, because here, the husband was supposed to, it's basically the guy here, the guy who was mefarnes the woman, was basically taking care of a chov of the husband, right? But yet it wasn't considered that he was benefiting the husband because the husband doesn't have to pay him back, right? So because of that, right, so if anybody does that...
It's just your prevention of a loss. It's not regarded as a benefit.
Right, because it's just prevention. Yeah. In other words, it's not actual... demanding of it. So how do we see that from this case of Hanan? Because...
So the financial obligation that once as a third party is fulfilling a financial obligation, so now they apply it across the board.
It really seems very complicated too.
Right. It's not 100%. Right. It's not a direct connection. That's why it's a little complicated here. If Reuven... Right, that's it. They're saying here, like, you know, it's basically, so let's say Joe and Jack. So Joe supported Jack's wife, right? He was like, okay, he took care of Jack's wife. And what do we say in the end?
Joe comes back.
Joe wants his money, but he doesn't get, right?
Joe supported
Jack's wife. When Jack comes back, he doesn't have to pay back Joe. Because Joe is this third party that's basically... kind of volunteering to do something, right? If the same way if Joe owes money to someone else, and I'm sorry, Jack owes money to someone else, and Joe pays him back, right?
But so the Mishnah says he does have to pay him back.
Hanan says he doesn't. So Hanan. It goes according to Hanan, who says he doesn't need to pay him back because he's basically lo kashur la'inyan. Okay, so it's the same thing as saying that you don't really. You're not benefiting someone by paying back their loan because you're not really...
Somebody else owed Jack money.
If Jack owed someone money and Joe paid it for him, and Joe said...
The wife is the third party.
Oh, sorry, I switched the people now. I made it confusing.
The third party.
I made it confusing because Joe was the one who swore. So let's change it. So Joe is the one who swore I won't get benefit. And he was the one, let's say it was his wife, okay? Let's take the wife case. So if Jack comes along and supports Joe's wife, right? So he's not really benefiting Joe. How do we know he's not benefiting Joe according to Hanan? Because Joe doesn't even need to pay him back. And Joe has nothing to do with this story. Joe doesn't need to pay him back, so therefore it was no benefit to Joe. It was just benefit to the woman. It wasn't to him. So yeah, the point is that the third wheel, the third guy who comes along... has no direct relationship to the guy, and therefore he's not benefiting him.
But Joe does benefit because he doesn't have to pay his wife.
So that's where what Shoshana said comes in, which is it was just prevention, but it's not that Joe actually had. In other words, Joe doesn't have to now pay back Jack, so he doesn't.
So he does benefit.
He benefits.
He doesn't have to.
All these cases, there's benefit, but the question is, how do you define benefit? Prevention isn't benefit. That's what they're saying.
It was the prevention. I don't see how it was prevention. It's basically because saying, you've gone away for 3 months and I'm going to take care of your wife
right.
for 3 months.
He just prevented a hefsed from him. In other words, he prevented him from losing money, but he didn't actually
And Joe never asked.
Do anything for him.
Right. Yes, Joe never asked.
Right, Joe never asked him to do it.
The catcher said he volunteered to do it.
Right. So the same thing here. If you go and pay someone's loan, it's not, you're just preventing him from taking a loss, but you're not actually, you know, what's the issue? You're not giving him something physically. Right? In the end, Joe doesn't get anything. It's true, he doesn't have to shell out more money, but he doesn't get anything actual. That's the point. It's on paper. It's like stock market, right? It's on paper, your win or loss, until you cash out. But it's not like Jack gave something technically to Joe. He did it through someone else, and it shows you're less connected.
Okay?
Yeah, it's not 100% clear cut. I agree. Or else I'm just not explaining it well enough. Okay. Berava Amar, afilu tema Rabbanan. I could explain it even according to Rabbanan. And what would you say? Hacha b'mayaskinan shelava almanak shelo lifroa. It's a case where he had a halva'a. Okay? In other words, when you say, if I pay back your loan, then that's not benefiting you. That's not in any regular case. When they said, pore alo et chovo, and that's not considered benefit, in the Mishnah there, the Mishnah was talking about when you had a halva'a where the guy said, I don't care when you pay me back. It's, you can pay me back, you know, in your next lifetime, basically. Okay? In which case, the guy didn't really actually, he should have paid back the money, but he didn't actually have to pay back the money, certainly not in any time frame. And therefore, when guy number three comes in and pays back the loan, it's not considered that he benefited him. Because the guy was a loan that was almanat shaloli fraud. In other words, there was no real time constraint, and it was like, I'll lend you this money. You know, sometimes you give someone money, it's more like stucco, but you give it in the form of a loan. You don't really ever expect the person to pay it back. So if someone actually pays it back for you, you're not benefiting them. Okay. But now we're going to see. Bishlama Rava lo amar ki Rav Hoshaya. I understand why Rava didn't answer like Rav Hoshaya. Why? Because demokim la karabana. Rava wanted to keep it aliba de shitat chachamim. He didn't want to go with the dat yachid. So I understand why he didn't agree with him. But Rav Hoshaya, my time alo amar ki Rava. Why didn't Rav Hoshaya give Rava's answer that it was a lovel manat shelo lefra? So amar lecha Rav Hoshaya nihi dehana'a leitle ki sufa mi leitle. What's he saying? He's saying, while it's true that you didn't benefit him because he didn't really have to pay back the loan, but you prevented him from embarrassment, because every time that guy sees the guy who loaned him money, he's always feeling embarrassed. And because of that, you've prevented him from that embarrassment, and that is considered hana'a. And therefore, you are hana'a. So what's going on in this mission is a big discussion of what it means to benefit, right? What does it mean to gain a benefit from someone? We have the category of mitzvot that we say are in lav lehen, don't nitznu, you're not benefiting. We have, you know, possibly the way we understood it, the lack of having to shell out money, you know, where it's not an actual physical, tangible hana'a, but it's something that you just don't have to pay money. Is that considered hana'a? And then we have the hana'a here of just saving someone from embarrassment is enough of hana'a that you've benefited from them, that you benefited them. And that's why Rav Hoshaya didn't want to explain Rava's way, and he took the other approach to kind of fit it in with Hana. Okay? New Mishnah. You want to ask something?
No.
Still stuck on that earlier one.
Well, no, I think I get it now.
Right.
So basically, the prevention of a loss is not regarding the benefit.
Exactly.
That's really what it is.
But it's very difficult.
He has it given to him, but the money that he didn't have to spend on his life is
actual money.
That's 3 months.
Although, again, it's not clear he would have ever given it, and then it's a whole question, right? Then we had a whole thing about, right.
That's a different
problem. Can we demand it from him or not? That was all yesterday. Right. Okay. Mishnah. Admon Omer Shiva. Okay, he said 7 things, so we're going to start with his things now. Mishamet vihiniach banim ubanot. Okay, someone dies and leaves. We've actually learned this. Okay, he leaves banim and banot. Bizman sha'nechasim merubim. If he has a lot of money that he leaves in his inheritance, so habanim yorshim, v'habanot nizonot, right? The boys inherit, and the girls get their mizono from the inheritance. U'benechasim muatim, habanot yazunu, v'habanim yachzeru al haptachim. Okay, we learned this. What's supposed to happen? The girls get mizonot, and the boys don't get anything. And what do they have to do? They have to go beg money. Okay? So now here's the funny line. Admon Omer, Bishvil Sha'ani Zachar Hifsadati. Just because I'm a boy, I'm going to lose out. Okay, it's a great line. Where you go with it, you know. Why is it a great line? Because usually it's the opposite, right? It's usually just because I was born a girl. And that's what he's basically saying. Just because I happen to be born a boy, so now I have to lose out, right? Which is obviously a almost like a joke, because, right, the girls are always the ones losing out. Again, it depends what you call loss and what not, but, you know, there's a lot of things that the girls lose out on, particularly when it comes to money and inheritance, right? Yes. So, yes, it's true they'll get mizonah, which in this case, it's true they win out. But generally, they lose out when it comes to money issues. Amar Rabban Gamliel, ro'e ani et divrei admon. Okay? It seems logical what he's saying. Here, instead of, right, it's different characters. There was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who agreed with Hanan, and here it's Rabban Gamliel who agreed with Admon. My Kamar, what was he asking when he said, Bishvil Shani Zachar Hifsadati, right? The Gemara wants to understand what does this line mean. They're also kind of surprised by it. Amar Bai, Hachi Kamar, Bishvil Shani Zachar Vira'oi La'asok B'Torah Hifsadati. Okay, this is an interesting thing. Okay, how exactly you take this is also somewhat not clear, right? Because I'm a Zachar and I have to learn Torah, right? Here's the good, like, this is like the Avrech Gemara, you know? Because we saw a whole bunch of Gemaras that go against the concept that boys are supposed to learn and not, you know, not get Parnassah. Here he's saying, because I learn, right? Because I'm Ra'oi La'asok B'Torah, I'm basically going to lose. And I was going to lose out on the inheritance because I was born a boy who's Ra'oi La'asok B'Torah. So Amar Le Rava, Man De'asik B'Torah Hu De'yarit. Man De'asik De'lo Asik B'Torah Lo Yarit. So, it's a question. He's saying, Abai is saying that because I'm Ra'oi La'asok B'Torah So excited because I'm busy learning Torah, I'm not working, I now have to go, you know, L'shol HaPtachim. So what do they say? So Rava says, I don't even understand what you're saying, Abai. According to what you're saying, we're going to start distinguishing between boys who are Osek B'Torah and boys who are not Osek B'Torah. So man de Asik B'Torah hu de yarit, and man de lo Asik B'Torah lo yarit. You're not going to be Yarish? So Ela Amar Rava hachi kamar. Bishvil sha'ani zachar, and he takes it out of the realm of learning Torah, there's no connection. Bishvil sha'ani zachar vira oili rash, b'nechassim rubim, hifsadati b'nechassim muatim. He says, because I'm a Zachar, I'm supposed to get the Yerusha, right? So if there's Nechassim Merubim, I should be getting the Yerusha. So I don't understand, just because there's less money means I don't get the Yerusha? Okay, and that was his question. Okay, it's still a very strange question, because the point is that there's a conflict of interest here. Yes, you're supposed to inherit, however, basically, you have to look at it in two ways. We have this thing called Yerusha, right? The estate. We have the estate, and we generally call the estate Yerusha, right? So he's saying, I'm supposed to inherit the land. Whether there's Nechassim or Rabim or Nechassim or Atim, I should inherit the land. But the way Chachamim see it is very different. They say, this isn't all Yerusha, right? Yes, there's the estate, but the estate doesn't go to Yerusha until what? All the debts are paid off. And the debts include the women's mizonot, the girls' mizonot. So we have to first pay the girls' mizonot, and if you're going to be left with nothing, well, then there's no Yerusha. Okay? But he says, you know, while it's true that that's that way, the mizonot is a constant. Now, you have to also figure out, I don't remember if we dealt with this, I don't think we did, about how do you calculate if there's not going to be enough? I mean, mizonot could go on for years, it could go on for months, it could, you know, how much mizonot do we say in the estate needs to have in order to say we don't have enough now to pay the Yerusha? And I don't know the answer to that question. But, okay, that was the first thing of Admon. Now we're going to go on. Hato'enet chavero kadei shemen. Okay, do you remember the halacha of modeh b'miktzat? If someone says, I owe you 100 shekel, I'm sorry, you owe me 100 shekel, and you say, it's true I borrowed money, but I only borrowed 50, not 100. Or, it's true I borrowed 100, but I already paid you back 50. That's called modeh b'miktzat. And we say that in that case, the person who is modeh b'miktzat, he swears that I don't owe you the rest, and he's patur from the rest. Okay? That's called shvuat modeh b'miktzat. So now we're going to have a case. There's going to be a machloket. Is this modeh b'miktzat or not? We actually saw something similar to this before. So hato'enet chavero kadesh shemen. He says, you borrow from me kadesh shemen. Okay, now what do you think this means? Pitchers of shemen. Pitchers of shemen has two meanings, right? The pitchers themselves and the shemen in the pitchers. Okay, that's what's going to cause the confusion here. V'hoda b'kankanim. he agrees, first of all, it's a weird lashon. It moved from kadim to kankanim. Okay, but the assumption is he says, yes, I took your kadim or your kankanim, whatever you call them. Okay, but there's definitely a question here in the Mishnah, why, right? So he agrees that I have your kadim, but they're empty. In other words, yes, I you're right, I have kadim of yours, but without shemen. So Agmon omer, ho'il v'hodeh b'miktzat ha'tana yishavah. This is modeh b'miktzat. He agreed with half of what he said, not the other half, right? He agreed about the kankanim, not about the shemen. Now, it's not your classic case of modeh b'miktzat, because there's two different things going on here. There's the kankanim, and there's the shemen. And they're two different things. It's not like he said, I agree that I, you know, you said 10 and I only have 5, right? That would be real modeh b'miktzat. Chachamim amrim, ein hoda'a miktzat mimin hata'ana. Okay, this is not from the same ta'ana. This isn't, yes, I have 5 kadei shemen and not 10. That would be modeh b'miktzat. So therefore, he doesn't take a shvua. Amar Rabban Gamliel, ro'eh ani et divrei Admon. Okay, what Admon says seems more logical. Okay, now the Gemara is going to say, Shma mina, they're going to make an assumption. Okay, this is where I started on the sheet that I prepared to try to organize it. Shma mina l'Rabbanan, it sounds like Rabbanan would agree, or the Rabbanan, are, not that they would agree, the Rabbanan are saying like this. Okay, they're going to apply it to a different case. Ta'anu chitim u'se'orim, v'hodeh b'se'orim patur. Okay, here's a case. Someone says, yes, I claim you owe me chitim and se'orim. And the guy says, I only owe you chitim. So now, what would Chachamim say in this case? That you wouldn't be nishba, because you weren't modeh b'miktzat on the chitim. Right now, the claim is about the chitim. You're not modeh b'miktzat on the chitim, you're only modeh, right? In a modeh b'miktzat has to be mimin hata'ana. So what we have chitim and we have se'orim. Se'orim, he agreed 100% that he owes him. Chitim, he agreed 0%. That's not modeh b'miktzat. Okay? Just like with the kadei shemen. He agreed about, right, this would be the same, about the kadim would be on that side with the se'orim, and he didn't agree about the shemen. He said 0 about the shemen, 100 about the kadim. That's not modeh b'miktzat according to Chachamim. You see the comparison?
Yeah, but isn't it a question also of wording? If you say, I lent you grain,
so we're going to get into wording.
Some of the grain, but not other of the grain. It's different from saying 1 and 2.
I didn't follow.
And it may not be relevant because it's just a comparison. If he said, I lent you 4 pounds of grain,
yeah,
and he says, no,
you only
which happened to consist of two different types. He said, well, I only...
Two different types of grain.
But he do not...
But it's all grain, you're
it's
saying.
All grain.
Right,
so,
that's
I mean,
probably... But why are you saying that? Well, how would that affect here?
I'm not sure how it affects the shemen and the kadim.
So okay, right. So that's going to be our question. How do we view the shemen and kadim? Since it's not 100% clear when he says, hatoenet chavero kadei shemen, that's going to be a little bit of the thing here. So now, it sounds like, okay, I think everyone would agree at this point, it sounds like that the chitim and sorim are like the shemen and the kadim. That he hasn't agreed about the shemen. You can make arguments not, but right now that's what the Gemara is assuming. So they say, if that's the case, then lema tahavit yuvta derav Nachman. We should say that this Mishnah, according to that understanding, would create a contradiction, okay, would be a koshi on what Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel. Remember, Emoraim can't argue with Mishnayot. So this Mishnah, according to Chachamim, right? Chachamim's approach, which we assume we hold like, would be against Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel. Ta'am Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Here we have it exactly. Ta'anu chitim u'seorim ve'hodelo be'echad mehem chayav. Okay? He claims in the chitim and seorim case, you are chayav shvua. So it sounds like our Mishnah, Shita Chachamim, would be a contradiction to this approach. So now, we're going to have different explanations. The first explanation to say that we don't agree with this is, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, b'to'ano mida. It's when he said a particular measurement, right? He didn't say kankanim, right? Rashi says, lo tava mimenu kankanim, ela shemen hivkadeti etzlecha. Umay kadeh shemen dekatani matnitin, mida melo asara kadeh shemen. As he said, you owe me 10 kankanim of shemen. Okay? And then he says, right, so 1 second, according to this, he's saying, right, he just wants 10 full kadim of shemen, and then he's really only talking about the shemen. And the other guy says, listen, and then the other guy says, it's a case where, okay,
Until now, we said he was claiming Shemen Vikankani. Okay? And then or Shemen Vikadim, right? And then he was told, hey, and I only owe you Kankanim, not Shemen. But now we're saying, no, the case is the reason why he's Chayav, he doesn't, is because, no, he's because, you can. What do you mean? People used to go, by the way, it's not like we go to the store and buy Shemen Zayin in a glass jar. People would bring their Kadim to the guy and fill them up with Shemen. Yeah. So this guy says, you took my Shemen. Meaning, you owe me 10 bottles worth of Shemen, right? 10 liters of Shemen, let's say. And the guy said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't owe you Shemen, but I do owe you the Kadim. I borrowed your Kadim to fill up the Shemen. Okay? That's the case. In which case, that's why Chachamim say, this is not Moda B'Mikzah. Those are two totally separate things. They're not connected. Okay? And then it wouldn't be like where he claims, Chitim im Se'orim, and he said, I only owe you part of that. Okay? So that's one way of saying that we don't... we tried to say it would be a contradiction to Rav Nachman and Rav Shmuel, and then we say, no, you can explain the Mishnah in a particular case. So then they say, Ihachi my time ad Admon. But then Admon makes absolutely no sense. Why would Admon say that it's a Shmuel Moda B'Mikza? You can't say that's what the Mishnah is talking about, because how could he possibly say, if one guy wanted Shem and the other guy says, no, I have Kankanim of yours, they're not connected at all. So therefore, they reject that. So now we're going to have a different, and as where are we up to? We tried to say that this is going to create a contradiction. Our Mishnah is going to create a contradiction for what Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel. We said, oh no, our Mishnah is in a particular case. We rejected that. We can't say our Mishnah is in a particular case because then Abba makes no sense. So now we're going to give a different way to understand our Mishnah, or a different understanding of how to explain our Mishnah so that it won't contradict Shmuel. Ela Amar Rava. Tekule Alma. Here I made a little chart of it. There's going to be three cases now. The first two cases everyone's going to agree with, and only in the last case is a machloket, and we're going to see that last case is not like the chitim imsorim case, and that will resolve our issue. Dekule alma hecha de amar le milo asara kadesh shemen yesh li biborcha. Okay? I have 10 kadesh shemen in your bor. Shemen katayin le. Everyone agrees that if he uses that, now we're going to get to the wording. This is what someone said in the beginning, right? It depends on the wording. If he says male asara kadesh shemen yesh li biborcha, okay? In your boar, I have 10 kadesh shemen, full kadesh shemen. Clearly, what's he referring to? Shemen katayin le, kankanim lo katayin le. Clearly, he's only referring to the shemen. Everyone would agree. Admon and chachamim. And therefore, if he's to'en shemen and he gives him kankanim, that's a mode of a mikzah. Kadesh shemen mele'im yesh li etzlecha. If he says, I have full kadim of shemen with you, then it's clear, everyone agrees, that shemen v'kankanim katayin le. And therefore, everyone would agree what? That if he says, I have only shemen and not kankanim, or the reverse, right? Like our mission, I have kankanim and not shemen. Both of them would agree that it's moda b'miktzat. It's just like the chitim and sorim case. Ki pligi, hecha da'amar le. Here's the exact lashon we see in our Mishnah. Asara kadesh shemen yesh li etzlecha. Because he didn't say, asara kadesh shemen mile'im, where it's clear he's referring also to the shemen. Here he's just saying asara kadesh shemen yeshli. So Admon omer yesh b'lashon hazeh lashon kankanim. This includes the kadim. Rabbanan savre ein b'lashon hazeh lashon kankanim. This doesn't include the kankanim. Okay, and therefore that's the case they're having a machloket about, and therefore it's not like the chitim and the sori. Okay, so now they're going to say, wait a minute. If you're going to say that this isn't like the chitim and the so'arim, in other words, according to this, what are you going to conclude? Elatama de'ein b'lashon hazeh lashon kankanim. Hayesh b'lashon hazeh lashon kankanim chayav. Right? Everyone agrees, according to this, that if he says a lashon that includes shemen and kankanim, and the guy only says shemen, or he only says kankanim, that's considered modeh b'miksan, and you have to take a shua. Right? That's what we were trying to show. Just like the chitim and seorim, where what did he say? He says you're chayav, right? That was what Rav Nachman said in Rav Shmuel. In the chitim and seorim case, you're chayav. So now we just explain that our Mishnah would agree that in that case also you'd be chayav, right? According to everybody. So now they're going to say, with a lema tahavit yuvta to Rabbi Chiya Barabba, we're going to see the guy who disagreed with Rav Nachman and Rav Shmuel and said the chitim and seorim, your dafka patur. So now we're going to say that our Mishnah now contradicts that opinion. Da'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba ta'anu chitim v'sorim v'hodala b'chameh patur. So now what do we see?
that the way we've explained our Mishnah, in order to explain that it's not a contradiction to the other opinion, ends up explaining it that according to everybody, if it includes both Lashonot, like the Chitim and Sorim, you'd be Chayav. So how could Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba say that you're Patur in that case? So now we're like flipping to the other guy who says the other opinion, saying now we have a problem with him. So Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Na'aseh Kemisha Ta'anu Rimon B'Klipato. Okay? What do we say here? The Kadim and Shemen are not like the Chitim and Sorim, okay? In the beginning, remember I said that, and I said everyone agrees right now that it sounds like it's the same. Now we're going to say, in order to say that it doesn't create a contradiction for this opinion of this Emora, what are we going to explain? That there's a difference. When you say Kadim and Shemen, right, one is inside the other, right? It's like saying, I gave you a Rimon in its Klipa. Because that's what it is, right? The kad is around the thing. It's not the same as chitim and sorim, which are two distinct items. So two distinct items, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba will say, you're patur, because there are no connection to each other. But a rimon b'klipato is just like a shemen in its kad. And therefore, you would be chayav. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba can explain it that way. So matkif la ravina, rimon b'lo klipato lo mintar. Shemen mintar b'lo kankani. And a rimon without its klipa is nothing, right? Like you can't, it's not protected at all. Whereas, now you can't say that these are a good comparison because the shemen without its kankanim can be, where would they put shemen? In the boar, right? They would keep it like in a big vat. So you don't need a kankan for the shemen. It could be in a vat. A rimon, well, it's true, it might stay on your table for, you know, a day, but that's about it. Without its klipa, it's going to get ruined. It's going to rot. So basically, right, a day is a good thing, you know, assuming you have good weather and it's not boiling hot outside, they didn't have refrigerators. So basically, they're saying a rimon, you can't compare a rimon without its klipa to a shemen in a kad. So, what do they say now? So that doesn't help them then for Rabbi Chiya, for this contradiction. So, elahacha b'maya skinan, da'amar le, asara kadesh shemen yesh li etzlecha. Okay, the guy said you have 10 kadesh shemen. Va'amar le'idach shemen lo hayu dvarim me'olam. Kankanim nami chamisha it lecha v'chamisha le'it lecha. Admon omer yesh b'lason hazeh lashon kankanim. Umidu dekamishtaba kankanim mishtaba nami ashemen al yedei gilgu. Okay, what do we have here? We have a case where our Mishnah, okay, again, we'd be making the Mishnah a unique case. What's the case? The guy says you have 10 kadesh shemen, okay? And the other guy says, look, when it comes to the shemen, never happened. I don't know what you're talking about. I never took shemen from you. When it comes to the kadim, I did borrow kadim from you, but I only borrowed 5, not 10. You claim 10, I borrowed 5. So now what happens? Admon says, yesh b'lason hazeh lashon kankanim. In other words, it's clear when he said kadesh shemen, that can include kankanim. And therefore, because the whole question is when the guy said, asara kadesh shemen yesh l'etcha, did he mean kankanim? So he says, yes, he meant kankanim. And now what happens? The guy has to take a shvua on the 5 kankanim. He doesn't need to take a shvua on the shemen, but he needs to take a shvua on the 5 kankanim. But what do they say? This is what we call gilgul shvua. We've learned this before. Once someone's taking a shvua on something, since we already have a sefik about something else, we're going to add it on. We're going to be megalgel the shvua, since she's only using Shem Hashem once, right? We're going to say, swear about that too. So when it came to the kankanim, there was a real modeh b'miktzat, right? He was modeh b'miktzat of oto amin, right? And therefore, he was modeh b'miktzat oto amin, not like the chitim in sa'orim, right? This means, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba can say, chitim in sa'orim, two minim nifradim, no shvua. But what would be the comparison case in the chitim in sa'orim, where he'd say, I took half the amount of sa'orim that you wanted, not all of them, and I didn't take any chitim. So once he was nishba on the sa'orim, we'll make him take a shvua also on the chitim. But the case Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was talking about wasn't that case. And that's why he says you're patur. Okay, that's what Admon says. V'rabbanan savre, ein b'lashon hazeh lashon kankanim. Masha tanu lo hodalo, masha hodalo lo tanu. In other words, the guy said you owe me shemen. And the other guy said, listen, I don't owe you any shemen. I owe you kankanim. But even kankanim, you claim 10, I only claim 5. There, that's not even hodah b'miktzat at all. Because what the guy was claiming was shemen. And remember, the whole thing is, what did he mean when he said asara kadesh shemen? Did he mean just shemen, or did he mean also kankanim? So if, according to Admon, he meant shemen and kankanim, then we have hodah b'miktzat here, and then we can do the gilgul shvua onto the shemen. But if we say that he was only talking about Shemen and the other guy was Modeh b'miktzat of Kankanim, well, he wasn't Modeh about what the guy asked him about. That's not Hodah b'miktzat. Hodah b'miktzat has to be, right, if someone says, you know, I borrowed 100, you borrowed 100 shekel from me, and I say, listen, I didn't borrow 100 shekel, but I borrowed your car, okay? Or, you know, I don't know, something else. I'm just taking something random, but that's not, you know, and or I borrowed your, you know, your pictures, but I only borrowed 5 pictures, not 10. Well, that had nothing to do with the claim he made that I owe him 100 shekel. So I can't take a shvua on that. That's, right? There's no connection. So that's the way Chachamim explain it, and that's the way, right? And then Adman would explain, no, the way he meant it, and this is all about what his Lashon was when he said, so there was a whole debate about this Mishnah, about what this case is of HaTo'enet Chavero Kadesh Shemen, Hodah B'Kankanim. What did he mean when he was Toen Kadesh Shemen? Did he mean Shemen and Kankanim? Did he mean just the Shemen, not the Kankanim? And then that, you know, that explains whether, you know, how you explain Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rav Nachman Bar Shmuel's machloket about Tanu Pitim in the context of this. Okay. Yes, how complicated a simple statement would be, and how carefully you have to word things, and you want to protect yourself, yes, which you've seen many times.